Odd Trails is a true paranormal podcast. If you have a story to share, send it to stories@oddtrails.com. Enjoy the show.
Forget facts. Forget logic. Forget everything that seems real. Just trust. Believe.
Unexpected validation by successful cell 9093. I've had many experiences over the years, including a black triangle craft passing low over me back in 2009, many strange dreams, sleep paralysis, weirdness in the woods, and so on. This is one that genuinely shocked me. It came up organically without the other person ever knowing of the previous experience that had initially happened to my son. I live in a co-op of townhouses, just my son and me. We've been here for nearly 15 years now. When my son was little, maybe 7 or 8, he told me that the night before, he was woken up suddenly and went to his window to look outside. In the courtyard, there is a concrete planter with a tree in it. He explained that there was a beam of very bright light, stationary, on the planter. He stood and watched it for a while, and it maintained perfect stillness, just a spotlight held on this one location. Cut to about 10 years later. We were in the same house, but I switched rooms with my son. He outgrew his small room, and I outgrew the need for excess space. I started a new job with my neighbor across the courtyard, and we were casually chatting as we worked. The topic of weirdness came up. We were chatting about some of the things that we had seen and experienced, and at one point, she turns and says that she wants to tell me something, but doesn't want to freak me out. I tell her, lay it on me. She proceeds to tell me that a few months ago, her daughter woke up suddenly at around 4 a.m. and felt compelled to look out her window. Her window faces the courtyard, so she has a full view of my bedroom window and the front of my house. She looks out the window and sees a column of light coming from the sky, stationary and fixated on the roof of my house, directly above my bedroom. The same scenario, just years apart. Not a helicopter, because it was fixed and unmoving. Not coming from an angle, but straight down from the sky. I told her that we had experienced the same thing before. She was horrified. It was a very scary experience, knowing that she had zero idea of our experience years before, and how both kids reported waking up from a dead sleep and feeling compelled to look out the window. I'm curious if anyone has witnessed something familiar.
I think my duplex was haunted by Melanie. Here's one for you guys that I've been meaning to send in for a while. In 2018, I was working as a bartender, so my schedule was kind of flipped. I'd get home at around 2:30 or 3 in the morning, and usually stay up for a bit before going to bed. I had just moved into an ordinary-looking duplex. I'm guessing it was built sometime in the early 2000s. Not a typical haunted location with a lot of history behind it. But a couple of weeks after moving in, I came home one night and found the back door unlocked. I was pretty positive I had locked it before I left, since that's something I'm paranoid about and always double-check. But I figured maybe I had just forgotten. The next night, though, it was unlocked again. I started being even more deliberate about it. I'd end up physically checking that it was locked 2 or 3 times before leaving. Still, every few nights, I'd come home, and it would be unlocked. I mentioned it to my landlord, thinking maybe maintenance had come in or something, but he said no one had been there and told me to just keep my eye on it. Then it escalated. One night I got home, and the door wasn't just unlocked, it was cracked open. Not wide, just like it wasn't shut all the way. I stood there for a minute, just looking at it, trying to decide if I should call the police. I probably should have, but that'll come later. Instead, I ended up checking every room, all the closets, everything. Nothing was missing. No signs of forced entry. Just the door. That's when I got a camera. It would alert my phone anytime there was motion. I set it up on a shelf in the kitchen, pointed directly at the back door. For the first few days, nothing happened. Then one evening, right before midnight, I got a motion alert on my phone. When I checked the video, I saw the door was open by a few inches. The kitchen was empty. I freaked out and stepped out onto the patio at work to call the police. After dialing 911 on speaker, I swiped back to the app. Now the door was closed. I left work early and met 2 police officers at my house, even though the dispatcher told me to stay where I was. They didn't find anything out of the ordinary, but the door was unlocked. I also watched them open and close it several times, trying to see if maybe the latch wasn't catching or something. But the door only ever opened when you turned the knob. And for the record, I already tested this theory myself maybe 12 times. It also makes the door closing on its own even more weird. The cop suggested that I get a separate lock, and I did. Honestly, I should have done that sooner. I got one of those hotel-style latching locks, and never had any more issues with the door. But that wasn't my last experience at this place. A few nights later, I woke up to a noise. Not loud, just enough to pull me out of sleep. The best way I can describe it is that it sounded like someone tapping on wood really hard with their fingertips. Not knocking exactly. I sat up and listened. It was coming from downstairs. I didn't go check right away. I just sat there, frozen, until eventually it stopped. As I tried going back to sleep, I started hearing moaning sounds from downstairs. Yes, moaning. And no, it wasn't coming from my neighbors. I didn't have any. The duplex attached to mine was vacant. It was like this deep, painful mourning sound. Not exactly like something you might hear in a haunted house or horror movie, but pretty close. It was subdued and not very dramatic, but I'm 100% positive of what I heard. I'm not religious, but I do believe in God, so I prayed as I cried. I don't even remember what I said, something like, "God, please protect me. Whatever is in this house, please make it go away." I waited in silence for what felt like forever. Then I heard a single loud thud, like a weight was dropped into the kitchen sink. And then nothing. I checked the camera on my phone, and nothing looked out of the ordinary. I didn't sleep. I stayed up until sunrise before going down there to look around, and everything looked fine. I never had any experiences after that. Call me crazy, but I stayed living in that duplex for another couple of years without incident. What do you think this was?
Camping in Another Universe by Origami Rhino. This is one of those things where I don't care if people believe me or not. It happened. Do with this what you will, but I just want to talk about it. My wife and I went camping a few years ago. Where we go, the forest is pretty thick, and it's not terribly populated. You might pass a couple of people every 30 minutes or so on a busy day. We saw an older couple in the distance, about 75 yards or so. They looked at us, waved, and I remember thinking that they looked a bit like us. When we turned back to the camp, they passed us. The woman said hi and the man nodded. My wife and I stopped dead in our tracks and looked at each other, then right back at them. It was us, maybe 25 years older. I thought that it might just be a crazy doppelganger situation. At this point, I could see them turn their heads and talk to each other, so we got a good profile of them. I was convinced we, or they, had traveled in time or to another universe, but my wife, practical and logical as she is, shot that idea down. I asked her if we should catch up and talk to them to see just how uncanny the resemblance was. She suggested that we follow, but not to talk to them yet. We were almost to our camp and had planned to pass it and keep up with them. We still had an hour or so of daylight. Now, to our shock, they turned down this short path toward our camp. We sped up a bit to see what was going on. Maybe they had a camp nearby or something like that. We were about 50 yards or less away and could finally see our campsite through the trees just before that short path that led to it, where they were clearly making themselves at home. It was definitely us 20 or so years from now. We watched just for a minute or so. They weren't breaking or damaging anything. The man had gotten out my sausages and the woman put our percolator over the fire. We jogged around the corner so that we wouldn't scare them and would have a full view of the camp. But they were gone. And I mean really gone. No sign of anyone or anything that had been there. The sausages were back in the cooler. The percolator was in the tent, cool as can be. At that point, all logic went out the window for my wife. We have gone back since a few times. I really want to run into them, or us, again.
The Old Haunted Inn by S.A. It was winter in the mid-90s when I began working the late shift at a turn-of-the-century inn. Situated in the heart of town, it had great views near a steep, sharply curved highway ramp. On my first night, a car came speeding off that ramp and plowed into a streetlight. My trainer and I were standing by the large windows with a full view of it. We rushed across the street to help. And it was someone I'd known my whole life. With a bleeding forehead that matched the spiderweb crack on the windshield, reeking of alcohol. They kept insisting they weren't driving, as their words turned to vapor in the cold. We stayed until police and emergency services arrived. Perhaps that was an omen. I've often wondered. The inn was rumored to be haunted by several ghosts. And I was skeptical, but I think I encountered them all. First was the prankster in room 9. I was told if they didn't like the people staying there, they would lock them out of the bathroom. There was no reason the door should be locking anyone out, but I lost count of how many times I had to jimmy it open. Sometimes I even had to make a second or third trip. One night, in a low whisper, I asked them to please stop, just as a favor to me. And for the rest of the time I worked there, they did. Then there was the old man. Some said he was a boat captain, others a war hero. Late one night, I heard boots on the wooden veranda leading to the front entrance closest to the desk. Then a loud knock at the door. There were so many windows flanking the entrance that I was puzzled I hadn't seen anyone approach. At that hour, the doors were locked. I walked up and looked through the glass. The knocking came again, loud, deliberate, while I stood there staring out. There was no one there. The veranda was well lit and completely empty. I've been told about him, that this was his calling card, but I didn't like the feeling. For seasonal entertainment, an acting troupe was hired for a Victorian murder mystery weekend. It was a festive time of year, and the costumes were incredible. This was probably as close as I'd get to seeing what it had been like back then. While distracted, I saw someone in my periphery, heading toward the stairs, wearing a white Victorian dress, dripping in lace. Delighted, I turned to compliment them, but no one was there. I knew she had dark hair and an updo with ringlets, and yet she was gone. It took a couple of weeks before I saw her again. This time, she was gazing out from an old photograph in an ornate frame. She was one of the original owners of the inn. But the last one gave me the most trouble. In a dream, I'm on shift when there's a knock at the far entrance. A little blonde girl stands there, smiling widely, with long ringlet curls and Victorian clothing. In the dream, I open the door to greet her, and her face begins to swirl into a darkness. Like staring too long at something until the details disappear. Realizing something isn't right, I close and lock the door again and watch her through the glass. Somehow I know that whatever she really is hides behind that blur, and it's bad. Weeks later, another employee asked if I'd seen a little girl matching that exact description. All I could say was I'd seen something. In the roughly 30 years since I worked there, she's come to my dreams two more times. Always knocking, always smiling, until her face dissolves again. I'm not sure what she wants, but I'm certain if I ever open the door again, it will be trouble. Because of that, the Victorian porcelain doll with blonde ringlets I inherited from my mother stays locked away. Maybe it's just superstition, but I don't want it to be seen as an invitation. The other times she appeared, what followed in my life was bad. I don't know if she causes it, but her energy feels intensely evil. Not like a warning. More like she's gleeful that something is coming. Do I even believe in ghosts? It's something I've struggled with. If forced to choose, I'd say no. I can't deny I experienced something, but calling it a ghost may be a misnomer. Making assumptions is a slippery slope. It might be a spirit or something pretending to be one. Either way, I've lived long enough to know this much. Use good sense, and don't throw yourself in as cannon fodder. Being cautious never hurt anyone.
Weird Incident That Happened to Me Years Ago by Chamuel. It's later at night, very dark out, no moon. We're driving down the highway. There aren't any cars around. We're running out of gas, so we pull over to a station to fill up. this is when it gets weird. We start driving, and I glance at the clock. It's nearly 2 a.m., and this was maybe 15 years ago, so we only had the clock radio. We were on a small road trip. My two friends and I, we were going across state lines to drop one of them off at home. Well, this radio clock, it sucked and would randomly just die on us. The whole radio would. We're driving down the road for maybe half an hour when we hit some fog and the radio starts to go nuts and dies. We just shrug it off and keep driving. The place where we were going was only about 2 hours away from the gas station, so we figured it wasn't a big deal, and we would just chat. 2 hours pass. No cars, no lights, no gas stations. It was like we were nowhere that existed. The fog was still all around us, and we were starting to get worried that maybe we had gotten lost. We fussed with the radio some more, trying to get it to turn on, but it wouldn't. After another hour of driving, we spotted lights in the distance. It was a gas station. Suddenly, the fog lifted, and as we pulled into the gas station, we realized this is the same gas station. The radio turned on as we pulled up. It was now 3 a.m. We had definitely gone longer than that. We tried to reason with it. Maybe we somehow went in a circle. Maybe this wasn't the same gas station. We got back in the car and left, but we never hit the fog again, and we made it to my friend's place in 2 hours. To this day, I think about that, and I can't explain it. It was one of the most bizarre things that has ever happened to me.
Toast Ghost by Mari. It must have been around 2000 or 2001. Growing up until I was about 8, my family lived in a suburban neighborhood in Minnesota. Weird things would happen from time to time. Footsteps, soft voices at night, and other random spooks. We blamed it all on what we called the Toast Ghost. We named it that because we'd wake up in the middle of the night smelling toast, but when someone checked, the toaster would be completely cold. I had one younger brother, about 4 at the time, an older sister a couple years ahead of me, and an older brother who had just gotten old enough to babysit us. One night, my parents went out and left him in charge. We made snacks and went downstairs to watch a movie in the family room. About halfway through, my brother suddenly paused the movie and shushed us. We all listened. There were voices upstairs. Without even thinking, we all bolted into the bedroom my sister and I shared. It was directly across from the family room and the only room we could lock quickly. We stood there listening. The voices were still there. And now we could hear footsteps. We all started panicking. I was the most sensitive one, and I started crying. My older brother tried to come up with a plan. We needed to get to the phone upstairs to call our parents. Somehow, my little brother volunteered. He was jumping on the bed, talking about grabbing a weapon and being like a ninja turtle while he went to get to the phone. It was a dumb idea, but we let him go. About a minute later, he came back, completely fine, with the phone. My older brother called our parents and told them everything. My little brother said he didn't see anyone upstairs, so we assumed whatever we heard was gone. But we were still terrified. I remember getting on the phone and crying to my parents about how scared I was. They came home soon after and found no sign of anyone, no intruders, nothing out of place. We ended up chalking it up to neighbors or the house settling. But weeks later, we started blaming it on the toast ghost again. Years after that, we'd all talk about it, and we all had our own memories of hearing voices and footsteps from the basement. We all agreed on one thing. That house was pretty spooky.
Was the Silhouette Real by Zhu Z? I want to share something that happened to me during my freshman year. My friends and I moved to the city after getting accepted into our school. All three of us were excited. It felt like we were finally real adults. We rented a room in an apartment my mom recommended, since the owner was her relative. She said it would be safer for us since we were all girls. The room was big enough for all three of us. It had its own bathroom, a sink, and a bunk bed. My two friends took the lower bed while I slept on the top bunk. During the first few days, I noticed something strange. I was sleeping really well, almost too well. My dreams were vivid and full of color. I mentioned it to my friends. They said that it wasn't weird. I even tried sleeping in one of their spots once, but it didn't feel the same as mine. The midterms came, and that's when things changed. I started having nightmares. I told my friends about it. Mika just laughed, while Bev told me to pray more, since she's very religious. The nightmares kept happening until eventually I got used to them. At first, they were just your typical scary dreams, until I started experiencing sleep paralysis. I would wake up in the middle of the night, unable to move. Sleep paralysis wasn't new to me. I used to experience it as a kid. I just didn't know what it was called back then. And before anybody judges me, I'm the type of person who fears the living more than the unseen. You never know what people are capable of. So yeah, I didn't really do anything about it. Anyway, this happened during our second year. One night, Mika went to her boyfriend's place for a sleepover. Bev and I stayed up playing games online, and I went to bed first in my usual spot, the top bunk. At around 3 a.m., I had a nightmare. I don't remember what it was. I just remember waking up trembling and drenched in sweat. My whole body was frozen, and I couldn't speak. I then began to hear whispers. I tried to close my eyes because I felt like if I opened them, I would see something. But for some reason, I couldn't fully shut them. So I started glancing around frantically until my eyes landed on my feet. I saw a head. I could only see the silhouette of a man standing at the foot of my bed. I couldn't tell if it was looking at Bev or at me, but I knew that something or someone was there. When I finally managed to close my eyes, I started praying like I always do. I focused on moving my toes first, then my fingers. When I finally broke free, I jolted up, grabbed my phone, and turned on the flashlight. I scanned the room, and that's when I noticed that the door was closed and unlocked. Immediately, I climbed down, turned on the lights, and grabbed a knife from the sink. I checked the bathroom, under the bed, and every corner of the room. I don't know what got into me, but I felt like if I saw anyone, I wouldn't hesitate to stab them. Outside, the neighbors' dogs and even the landlord's dogs were howling like crazy, but inside it was just me and Bev, still snoring. I locked the door and sat on her bed, trying to calm down. Eventually, I just laid beside her with my pillow. I didn't sleep at all that night. I stayed on my phone until morning. When I told them what happened, they were both scared, but Mika mostly scolded Bev for forgetting to lock the door. To this day, I still wonder, did someone actually get in that night, or was it my mind playing tricks on me? After that, I asked Mika to sleep in my bed one time so that she could understand what I meant. The next morning, she woke me up, hitting on my arm. She said that she had a nightmare, and she was trying to wake me up. She remembered someone strangling her, but nothing else. I also asked my sister to try sleeping there when she visited the city for her admissions test. She said that she slept well, but her dreams were vivid and colorful, but no nightmares. The rest of our stay was mostly normal, but I still had the occasional experience. Sometimes I would wake up feeling like someone was lying beside me, but when I fully woke up, nobody was there. Other times it felt like someone was hugging me. By our third year, I moved out for personal reasons. What do you guys think? Was it just sleep paralysis or something else? All right, jumping into the feedback. Joe, referencing episode 228, they said, referencing the Mandela Effect, could it be that some of these things are bootleg knockoffs? In the 80s and 90s, lots of designs were copied and altered. So just a bit more clarification. People are remembering like Berenstain or Berenstain. It could be that some of the Berenstain products were knockoffs or bootlegs. And yes, you're right. That was very popular back then. Specifically, what's gotten really popular lately is bootleg Bart from The Simpsons.
Yep.
Yeah, I see shirts of that all the time, often depicting him as like different races or ethnicities, and like just they have a lot of fun with it. I would say that like bootleg Bart merchandise is more valuable and popular from that era than the real stuff.
No, it is. Yeah, it's a weird thing. Yeah, I remember I used to have this piggy bank type of thing made out of ceramic or some sort that I got in Mexico as a kid, and it was, funnily enough, of Bart Simpson, and it was not officially licensed merchandise, but I loved that thing. I also think the objects in Mir may be closer than they appear.
Yeah.
That whole thing. I swear it was never objects in Mir are closer than they appear. And that's one I will die on.
I think I remember that because of that scene from Jurassic Park. So it kind of stuck, the correct one kind of stuck with me. Though I can 100% see how people would remember the other one.
Interesting. And Rhonda says, referencing episode 229, I've only ever heard the louder she sounds, the farther away she is, the quieter she sounds, the closer she is about La Llorona. There's something about hearing the peep peep of a chick when she's around, but a super quick Google doesn't bring it up. I know I've heard or read about that more than once, though.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, there's some other people that chimed in here. Can't pronounce this name. Azria? They also confirmed that they heard of the same volume thing in relation to La Llorona. And Claudia mentioned the thing about hearing it far away and being it close and such is also from folklore legend called the Whistler or El Silbón. I have heard the Whistler. I don't remember the proper name though.
Yeah.
El Silbón.
Yeah, me neither.
Probably not saying that one right.
And then Melanie responded, Appalachia also has the thing where if it sounds loud, it's far away. If it's quiet, it's nearby. So it does seem to be something that we're, you and I were just not familiar with.
Yeah. Now that you mentioned Appalachia, that does ring a bell. Could be lying to myself, though, but that checks out.
There was one more from Rhiannon. I'm not sure I'm saying that right either. Listening to episode 229, you guys were discussing the paranormal phenomenon. That when something sounds close, it's far away. And if it's close by, it sounds far away. I guess that's another roundabout way of saying it. I've heard this with the Wendigo and maybe the Skinwalker. So it's cool to learn that it's, you know, related to all of these other entities or lores and stuff. And yeah, it is kind of creepy. I agree. Rachel, referencing episode 228, said, okay, I have a question regarding the Mandela Effect conversation. And this is going to be something that I think we'll talk about at least once a month on the show because...
Of course.
Yeah, it's in all of our consciousness.
I mean, there's only like six things we can talk about, really, let's be honest.
Yeah. Aliens, ghosts. And my brother brought this one up not too long ago. He and I remember it, but seemingly no one else does. Do either of you or anyone else on here remember the news that Alfred Molina passed away? We both remember this happening because Spider-Man No Way Home was being talked about, and it was sad that he wasn't going to be able to join everyone for the making. It was said that they used CGI to generate his scenes, but he's alive? And actually in the movie? So I wanted to bring this one up specifically because I also heard that he had passed away, but I heard that he passed away like during or after the filming of No Way Home. Either way, I actually thought that he was dead as well. And thank God he's not.
No, that's a new one for me. I just remember Michael J. Fox ended up being alive this whole time. That was kind of weird.
Yes, another one that thank God he's still around. I love Michael J. Fox.
Oh, he's great. He's great.
On Discord, Taylor said, I'm late to the game, but I just finished episode 222, and I stayed in a Scarebnb in Portland that wasn't necessarily quote-unquote promoted that way by the owner, but there was a guest book put there by the owner for guests to record their experiences during the stay. I didn't realize it was a Scarebnb until the end of the stay, and we were about to check out when we saw the book, LOL, and I had an experience while there. I went back and I looked at the stay reviews, as well as the photos, where people had left confirmations of the hauntings being legit in their reviews. Interesting. Yeah, it's good to know that there are some quote-unquote Scarebnbs out there, even if they're not promoted. Hopefully, I end up staying in one day.
More legitimate that way, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
And I gotta say, I love the fact that Taylor wrote LOL and you read it. Actually, I don't know which one I like more, the fact you included the LOL or the fact that Taylor wrote LOL, but that was cute. That made my weekend.
I actually get really annoyed by people that say LOL in real life situations, like in conversations. Ooh. Not reading things aloud like this, but like they just say LOL instead of laughing. I think that's actually a Curb Your Enthusiasm plot, and I felt very
It is, it is. And I've caught myself. It happened once, but I was so mortified and embarrassed, I never said it again. I was like in the seventh grade, and I realized, wow, I spend way too much time online. I got to stop. And I don't think I really did until maybe last year or so, but
that's embarrassing. I would have had to drop out of that school completely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I wanted to, but that was my second school anyway for reasons that I won't get into. So yeah.
Let's jump into some stories.
Sure, sure. Which one? Which one should we do first? Well, I guess maybe Haunted Inn on the topic of Airbnbs, Scarebnbs.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Let's talk about this Scarebnb. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's do it. So not quite a Scarebnb. And full disclosure, the full title of the story was Ye Old Haunted Inn by SA, but it's kind of like the whole Moons Over My Hammy thing. I just can't do it, so I just retitled it myself as Old Haunted Inn. Sorry, no disrespect, but that's just for me.
And full disclosure, I believe this is from an author that also submitted some stories to Let's Not Meet as well. They've had some non-supernatural experiences, so it was cool to see them on here.
Okay, SA, that's a cool nickname. Mm-hmm. I don't really have anything to add other than the fact I'm glad that the bathroom ghost apparently had some good manners. They stopped when asked to stop. Doesn't get much better than that. And sometimes these things don't. They're just on their own program. And I wonder what the threshold is for a haunted entity to decide to obey commands or listen to a prayer, like we'll hear about a little bit later, in a haunted duplex, mind you. I wonder if maybe SA will reconsider they're believing in ghosts or not. Doesn't sound like they're fully convinced, but I think that'd be enough for me, seeing that figure with the hair all dressed up in the Victorian outfit turning, they're not there. I don't think that's just your mind playing tricks on you, even though it matches up with the theme. That's just too specific of a detail to have it just be some weird hallucination or a trick of the mind.
Yeah, there are things that you can write off where it's something subtle, like you thought you heard a voice, maybe you saw something out of the corner of your eye, maybe you had something happen to you during your sleep and it could have been a dream. These are the types of things that you can dismiss, but when you outright see something and, you know, the face dissolves into darkness.
Exactly.
That's not something that you can necessarily write off as, unless your mind is playing tricks on you, but that's a pretty vivid experience.
Yeah, you gotta have some real sleep deprivation, as we've learned recently, for that to happen. Yeah. And that porcelain doll, I think you should take it out, play with it. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, yeah. Good story, though.
What you got?
Yeah, so there are two stories that I want to talk about. First, I want to talk about that camping story, because this is just like a theory or an idea, a happenstance that I personally find very interesting because it has to do with time. You know, I found some of the replies to this story to be especially interesting. One person said online that they talked about how they had the same thing happen to them. They were like walking alone at night. They passed someone who looked just like an older version of themselves. They both looked at each other with wide eyes when they passed each other. And then the person turned back, you know, after about like 3 seconds, no time for them to, you know, run away and get away. And this doppelganger person that they saw that was the older version of them just vanished completely, just like in the story, the camping story.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, definitely a creepy experience. And it makes me think of that stone tape theory that we talked about recently.
Mm-hmm.
But like in reverse. So it's like the woods kept a memory of them in the future, camping in the same spot, and they were witnessing the playback in their time. So basically, it's kind of touches on the idea that time may not be linear in like the spirit realm or whatever other dimension. There's supposed to be a bunch of different dimensions, like it is in our current one. Maybe events echo back and forth all over the place.
Yeah, like it exists on the same vertical plane. I think that makes sense. But yeah, instead of linear A to Z, where it's all in one present moment, but it's different vertical essences within the same dimension or different dimensions in that case. But yeah, that makes sense.
I've heard it referenced as like, or at least the analogy that it's like time isn't like a river, it's like the ocean. So it's not like a straight line. It can be all over the place. The spectrum isn't a left to right. It's just like a map. It's a big open ocean.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, that puts it in a lot better way than I tried to. And that's pretty much what I was trying to get at.
Yeah, when I think about it, my brain hurts. It's...
Ooh, man. Yeah, just looking at visualizations of the universe, that alone, whew, I can feel like my throat starting to get smaller just really thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's definitely not hard to believe that they would visit the same camping spot years down the road. So it's not an insane idea. And they could be experiencing a time slip. There was this book called Time Storms that I read. It had to be almost a couple of decades ago now. And it talks about this kind of stuff. And I looked it up today because I couldn't remember the name of the author, but her name is Ginny Randles. And I remember them talking about clouds or areas of the woods where time and like identities kind of fold onto each other, like time can fold. It's a super way out there theory, but you know, with these types of things, when you read a book that's hyper-focused on one theory like this, it becomes a little less way out there, you know, kind of like when you're reading about out-of-body experiences or Men in Black. They don't seem so crazy once you really dive into it and you read a bunch of circumstances that kind of point to the theory. And I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because it kind of smacks of indoctrination and confirmation bias. But, you know, pretty much anything does when you get into it. But at least it's a fun way to look at these kinds of things, as long as you aren't taking it as gospel.
Yeah, I do think reality is a lot more strange than some of the fictional stuff we can dream of. Like dragons, yeah, cool, mythical, scary, spooky, breathing fire, but there's stranger things that really exist. I can't think of any specific. Thank you for putting your hood on, by the way, and mirroring my body language. I'm really cold right now.
Yeah, I'm actually you in the future.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thanks for reminding me, actually. This story is interesting because it does seem that way, where we could be haunted by ourselves in this regard, which is kind of a new thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's it makes me think of Interstellar, kind of.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
Or The Fountain.
Oh man, I love The Fountain. That kind of stuff is so best. Good. That's my favorite kind of media. Speaking of that kind of media, I hate saying the word media, but whatever. It's 2026. Content and media.
Yeah.
I watched a show recently that's been recommended to me a million times, even in our Discord. It's called Archive 81, and it's based on a podcast by the same name. I haven't listened to the podcast, but I did watch the series just because I was looking for something new and I just gave in. I was like, fine, I'll watch this show. And I did really enjoy it. I thought it was really, really cool. And it kind of touched on a lot of these themes, like time travel, multiple dimensions, stuff like that. I highly recommend checking it out because you can watch it in a couple of days. It's just like 8 episodes, little mini series. I haven't checked out the podcast yet, but I will check that out soon. But yeah, just wanted to recommend that to you.
Sure. Yeah. Maybe I'll check it out.
Maybe.
I recently rewatched Into the Void. Really good. Kind of in the same vein of weird stuff like that.
I feel like I remember Into the Void. Oh, I do. Yeah. That was the, what's the name of the director? I can't pronounce his name.
Yeah, that one.
His movies really depress me. Like, really, really, really bad. Did you see? I don't even want to say it because you know what it is. It's the Barbra Streisand effect.
Uh-huh.
If I say it, people are going to watch
it.
But there are a couple of his movies that have stuck in my brain and haunted me for years, and I don't want people.
See, I'm all for it. Never mind. I'm all for it. I feel so numb on. I don't want to say most days, but no, never mind. That's just going to get really depressing. But yeah, I like being able to feel strong things, and those sort of movies do it for me. So yeah,
I do too. I do too. But yeah, there's some really messed up movies out there.
Let's move on. Let's raise a toast to the Toast Ghost.
The Toast Ghost. I love this name.
The only thing I can really add to this is I just love how the little brother was the one to jump in and take action. And I want to know which Ninja Turtle he thought he was when he did that. Because I would be Donatello in this case and just grab a broomstick. I think the bow staff is a very underrated weapon.
Yeah. It's got the longest reach.
Exactly. Longest reach. You can do a lot with it. And Donatello is by far the most level-headed and coolest turtle, I think.
I forget which turtle game it is, but in one of the games, Raphael actually has the biggest reach. I think it might be the arcade game, the one on NES, at least the one that they ported to NES, which was technically Ninja Turtles 2, is what they called it on there. But Ninja Turtles 2, the arcade game, Raph actually has the biggest reach.
I know in the speed runs of Ninja Turtles 3, the Manhattan Project, a lot of people like to use Raph for his like special thing where he like zips across the screen really fast.
Huh. I didn't know he did that.
Yep. He like jumps in the air. He doesn't jump. He just like charges forward like a spearing effect type of thing and starts spiraling into people. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Does the old Goldberg.
Yeah, I almost said that. Goldberg. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's move on to the weird incident story. Like I said, I had two that I wanted to talk about this week because they kind of connect. I felt that it belonged in the same universe as the camping story. And it does kind of fit Randall's theory about time folding in on itself, especially considering the presence of fog specifically. So Randall's leans into that idea that weather can manipulate time, and fog is definitely high on that list. So this could have been one of those time storms that she talks about in the book. And, you know, I definitely want to reread the book so that I can kind of fill you in on some more. But almost every road loop or time split story starts with fog or a mist, along with, you know, the silence and the feeling of being lost and alone that the author felt in this story. But this story basically has all of the features from the book, like thick fog, time dilation. They somehow went into like a loop, and there's with the missing time and everything, and they ended up back at the same gas station. Plus their radio and clock went haywire from some kind of interference. I don't know. It's just more corroboration that time may not be linear. I'm going to be something that I'm really jumping into after this episode.
It very well might not be. And the fog, speaking of movies, another good recommendation.
You know, I started that movie years and years ago, but I turned it off because I thought it just kind of put me to sleep. I was kind of bored.
Whoa, interesting.
And I probably just wasn't in the mood for it because I watched it again last year, maybe the year before. And yeah, it's a slow burn. Some of John Carpenter's movies are like that, like Prince of Darkness. They're all just kind of like paced kind of slowly, but that feeling of dread and the cinematography is so good. Yes, man, the fog is one of the best, way up there.
In the Mouth of Madness is probably my favorite from his.
Yeah, the kid on the bike.
Do you read Sutter Kane? Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I love that movie.
Yeah. Well, I guess real quick before we wrap things up with these super in-depth conversations, you should at least acknowledge the Haunted Duplex story by Melanie.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more of like a safety announcement, if anything else. Anything with your door like this, if it weren't for the weird moaning sound downstairs and the loud slam and the whole praying making things go away, I would probably find some way to rationalize it, even though the door jam, everything was working fine with the latch and all that. But yeah, right off the bat, get some reinforced locks for your door and eliminate some things off of your list to give yourself some sanity and a sense of security. That's all I really got.
I agree. I'm with you. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Affirmative. Understood.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, everyone. Make sure you send your stories in to stories@oddtrails.com. And if you want ad-free versions of these episodes, it's the best way to listen. Go to patreon.com/oddtrails and make sure you check out the new episodes of my other podcasts, like Let's Not Meet and the Old Time Radio Cast, which is going to be a weekly show moving forward. You can get those at crypticcountypodcasts.com or wherever you get your shows. We'll see you next week. Stay safe.
Peace out.
And the ghouls disturb you, darling.